Thank you, Gerald, and good morning, everybody. It's good to be with you again. And well, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I appreciate that very much. And just want to bring the Word of God today and bring you greetings from my wife, Isabel. I'm sorry she's not here, but she's hobbling around with a broken foot. She sprained her foot very badly 2 years ago. And then a month or so ago, she dropped a water container on the same foot and broke a bone in her foot. So for some reason or other, the Lord wants her laid up for a while. But anyway, she's doing okay, and we thank the Lord for his goodness. Anyway, thank you for your prayers. I know that there are people here who pray for us in the ministry the Lord has given us, and we're grateful for that, so very grateful. And we'd encourage you to keep at it. Some of you know through Dale Stewart how that he and I serve on a committee together, and we are organizing those conferences for elders and prospective elders, and we've had three of them now, planning another one for October, and we're excited about what the Lord's doing. We really feel those times are being worthwhile, and we would pray about that, ask you to pray about that too for other times coming up in the will of the Lord. So, anyway, I'm glad to be with you today. And I want to read some scripture with you from the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, please. Isaiah chapter 1. And I want to read from verse 10 to verse 20. Isaiah chapter 1 from 10 to 20. Now the Lord, at this stage in the prophecy, the Lord is deeply grieved because of the sin of his people, Israel. So bad was it that he likens them to Sodom and Gomorrah. And it wasn't that they weren't religious or anything. They were still doing the sacrificial system. They were going through all the motions, but there was no real life there. That was the tragedy. And this is what the word of the Lord says. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings and of rams and the fat of fed cattle. And I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath are calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the solemn assembly. I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They've become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now these are, in one sense, very sad and challenging words, but on the other hand, there is a message of amazing hope in the passage as well. And just to set the picture for us today, that the text I want to concentrate on this morning is from verse 18 to 20. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they'll be like wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. If you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Tremendous words. And I thought, what I want to do right in the beginning of the message today is to kind of set the scene and try and answer the question of who is the God that with whom we have to do? Who are we talking about, this God with whom we have to do? And the Word of God, of course, gives us amazing pictures of His greatness, of His majesty, and so on. And let's make no mistake about it, dear friends, the God of the Bible, the God we've just read about today, the God who has this incredible hatred of sin and everything that grieves Him, this same God has an intense longing in His heart for you and me. Longing that we would know Him. Longing that we would be in relationship with Him. That we would walk and talk with Him in a powerful way. In the first book of Samuel, the Lord says there in chapter 12, "The Lord will not abandon His people on account of His great name." Please get that today. He will not abandon His people on account of His great name. I don't want to get into the theology of Israel, but God has not forsaken Israel, okay? Let's be clear about that. There will be a remnant that God is going to save one day, and we rejoice in that. But what I'm saying this morning from the Word of God is that God's heart and what He does, for whether it's Israel or for you and me, it is for the sake of His great name. Please get that into your hearts this morning. It's for us, we get the blessing. But at the end of the day, it's for His great name. He is the creator of it all, you see. He is the beginning and the ending. And I'll say more about that in a moment. And God's great longing is because of what His will was and is for His creation, God is longing to restore us to all that that means. And so He says in this verse in Samuel, because the Lord has been... The Lord will not abandon His people on account of His great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for Himself. That is an awesome concept, dear friends. To make you a people for Himself. God, hear me now, God is longing that you and I be in such relationship with Him that He is able to pour all that He is into you and me. That we are for Himself. We are enjoying an intimacy with God that is truly remarkable. And when you come to the New Testament, and some of you here will remember the scripture very clearly in the book of Titus, it tells us there, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous of good deeds. You see, the will of God for every one of us is that we be in such relationship with Himself that all that He is can become a reality for us every day that we live. Now, when you chew that over, dear friends, today, it is truly amazing stuff. It is amazing stuff. And when you go on in the book of Isaiah, I'm quoting quite a lot of scripture here, but it sets the tone. You get to chapter 43 of Isaiah, and you read this amazing statement there. God says, "I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." Now, we're going on now to think about the implications of that. To think about the God who says, who speaks those words. God wants to wipe out our sin, take away everything that's come between us and our Creator, and so that for His own sake, things would be restored to what they were originally, for what God's will really is for us. Now, then when we think of the picture in the book of Exodus in chapter 3, and you remember when God was calling Moses and he said he was going to use Moses to lead the people of Israel out of slavery, out of Egypt, take them to the promised land. And Moses is saying to the Lord, when I go to speak to Pharaoh and the people, who will I say has sent me? And you remember the picture how God says to him, I am that I am. Tell them the I am has sent you. The I am has sent you. This is the one who somebody has described as the ultimate reality. The ultimate reality. Almighty God, without beginning, without end, I am that I am. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me now. In our world today, we've got everything back to front. You don't think about God in the light of science. You think about science, and there's nothing wrong with thinking about science. It's an amazing field. But you think about science in the light of God.
Amen.
We've got it all back to front. And when we talk about God, let's make no mistake about it. We're talking about the ultimate reality, the great I am, the creator of the ends of the earth, the creator of this vast universe, without beginning, without end. What a God. Amen?
Amen.
The living God. And in Acts chapter 17 it tells us, in him we live and move and have our being. Our ultimate end is in his hands. So therefore, dear friends, it is very important that we understand that this God who created us, who is all powerful, who's without beginning and without end, this God, for his own sake, has every right to say to us, I want to forgive your sin, not that you'll get all blessed up, although you will, but that for my sake, God says, I'm the creator of it all. You were meant for my glory. That's why you're here. I want you to rediscover that. Amen?
It's
awesome. Now, what I want to say then, in the light of all of that, is what I want you to know, that this God, the God of the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know where you're all at today in your relationship with him, but I want you to know this, this God is totally trustworthy.
Amen.
He is totally trustworthy. Now, I want you to keep that in your mind, because it's very important. So when we come down to our text right now then, from Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, God is grieved by the fact that as far as his people Israel were concerned, they had got far away from him. Now I want to challenge your hearts this morning. I want to tell you, dear people, when I've been studying this scripture and related scriptures over the past few weeks, I want to tell you, God's been turning me outside in. How real is my relationship with him? Am I going through the motions? Have I got all the I's dotted and the T's crossed and my heart is cold as ice? Where am I in it all? In my relationship with this wonderful God who is totally trustworthy. Now, as God speaks to his people and he says to them, I'm sick of your artificiality. I'm sick of all this stuff of going through the motions, and the real nub of it all, the real life, is not there. You're not in knowing what I want you to know. That's what God's saying. And so he comes to the people then through the prophet when he paints this amazing picture. But God says, now, let's get real here. Let's get real. Come now, says the Lord, the sovereign Lord, the Almighty, the great I am, who is totally trustworthy. He's saying to you and me this morning, get real about, let's get real about this. Come and let us reason together. Let's think about this together. Because, says God, no matter what you may have done or what's happened in the past, I want you to know there's no sin beyond my redemption.
Hallelujah.
I love the scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, that person is what? A new creation. And notice it says, anyone. Anyone. And so God's saying to us this morning, let's reason together. This is God's invitation. And I want you to notice it's a two-way street. When God says this, he's appealing to us. He's encouraging us to realize what's available because of his love and grace. He's not sitting in judgment. He's saying, in grace, I'm appealing to you. Let's talk about this. Let's be honest with one another. Let's reason together. Let's see the real picture here. And he's assuming, therefore he's moving towards the people he's talking to experience a change of heart. To experience a complete change of heart. Now, I want you to notice one thing more in this connection. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Now, if your Bible's like mine, the word Lord will be in capital letters. There's a reason for that. Because it's talking about Yahweh, the God we've been thinking about the last few moments. The great I Am. The one beside whom there is no other. From everlasting to everlasting. He says in the book of Isaiah again in another place, I am the Lord and I will not give my glory to another. This one, dear friends, is saying to you and me this morning, let's reason together. He's not talking in retribution, he's talking in grace. Isn't that wonderful? Whatever you may have done, wherever you're at this morning, he's not beating you over the head and delighting in reminding you of your sin. He's saying to you, let's talk about this, let's get real about it, because I'm longing to deal with the situation. I want to put it right. And he's talking to us in grace. He wants to forgive totally and freely. Have you got that today? You know, when you know that you're a forgiven sinner, there's nothing will put a smile on your face quite like that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm forgiven. Nothing between. Amen?
Amen.
It's beautiful. Now, I was driving past the church the other day, and there was a notice board thing outside with three phrases on it. It said, heal the past, live the present, and dream the future. The problem is, as I thought about it, I thought about how many hundreds of people will drive or walk past that thing every day, and they'll look at it and say, heal the past, and they would say, I wish. Amen? There are many people out there, men and women this morning, they would give their eye teeth to heal the past. But they've no idea how. And the notice board didn't tell them how. That's the tragedy of it. Just like you're going to sit down someday and say, boom, abracadabra, I've healed the past. Doesn't work like that, does it? But when we come to our text this morning, notice what God says. God's saying, you want to heal the past? Here's how it happens. Are you listening to me, dear friends, this morning? God can be so real in your life and mine, he will heal the past. Completely. Now that doesn't mean that you're going to have no more problems. I'll tell you a bit more about that in a moment. But to be in a healed relationship with your Creator is the most precious possession any man or woman can ever have. And so God says, He makes this amazing promise. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they'll be like wool. The basic problem, you see, is that mankind, and I think I've told you this before, but I remember hearing a guy, he was thinking he was giving us a presentation of the gospel, and he used this statement. He said, mankind in the beginning stumbled into sin. Man did not stumble into sin. Man's sin was a deliberate act of rebellion against his Creator. And we're still thinking we can live like that in our world today. That's the basic problem, you see. And the point is this, that the more we go along with that kind of stuff, the more we go along with it, then the more we realize that our sin, my sin, it stains our lives. It has that effect. People have done things, they've been involved in stuff. And ladies and gentlemen, today, can I say to you, if you've got a problem realizing you're sinful, then you really have a problem. I mean, come on, you really have a problem. It's like a friend of mine my wife and I have tried to share the gospel with him several times. He's no longer with us, sadly. And his modus operandi in his life was, I try to keep the Ten Commandments. Which begs the question, how are you getting on? And when you stop and honestly think about that, you realize you're nowhere even close. Amen?
Amen.
Not even close. And this is the bit, because of that, when our sin has come between us and God. It's like a barrier between us and the Lord. And it leaves a stain. Now, we'll talk about this a bit more as we go along here, but I just want you to know that no matter what sin may have done in your life or mine, and he talks about our sin being as scarlet and red like crimson, he's talking there about how sin, this color is symbolic of sin that stains very deeply. I know people, they would give anything to get rid of the stain, the effect of their sin in their lives. They would give anything. The color speaks of a deep stain. It also speaks of the blood of the atonement of the Lord Jesus. And I like the idea. Sin is like scarlet and staining my life. But the precious blood of Jesus that was shed on a cross, the Bible tells us He was made to be sin for us. He took it all upon Himself. Dear friends, today, the other side of that is that although our sin is as scarlet, it'll be as white as snow. Though red like crimson, it will be like wool. In other words, a complete transformation. White, it speaks of purity, innocence, forgiveness. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 9, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses. No, it doesn't. It doesn't say that there at all. It tells us there that His precious blood purges our sins, purges our conscience from dead works. That's what it tells us there. Can you get the picture? I remember my sister got a new coat of some kind years ago. We were just little kids. And I remember she was dared to get a mark on that coat. Well, of course, you know what happened. And trying to deal with the problem, she took the coat off, brand new coat, and washed it in a puddle to try and get rid of the stains. What did it do? It just made it 100 times worse. 100 times worse. The stain was right there into the fabric, you see. That's what sin does. But God says, I want to purge it out. I want to take it away completely. And as Dr. Alexander McLaren says, God could turn scarlet into snowy white, crimson into lustrous purity of the unstained fleeces of sheep in a green pasture. Isn't that a great picture? The stain gone. Get it, people? Gone. Only God can do this. Only the precious blood of Jesus Christ can purge out my sin. Cleanse me from all sin. Amen? None excluded. All sin. Doesn't matter what it is. Now, I want to tell you a couple of stories here. I told you about my friend Greg a moment ago who wanted to keep the Ten Commandments. And well, of course, he couldn't do that. Tragically, he took his own life in the end. I want to think with you about somebody else, and I think of the psalmist, David. And David got into sin in a big way, even though he was the man after God's own heart. And we read his prayer of repentance in Psalm 51, and just a couple of things to notice in that psalm. David's sin was of adultery and murder. Doesn't get much worse than that. But he comes to God and he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Ladies and gentlemen, today, this is the kind of thing God wants to do in our lives. God's will for every one of us today is that we live lives that are pure and clean and cleansed in the precious blood of Jesus. Now, I know I'm speaking to a congregation that mostly believers in Jesus today. But I want to remind you, and there are men and women sitting in churches all over Victoria today to whom this applies. If any of us are committing adultery online, it needs to be dealt with. David was guilty of adultery and murder, and we all go, how terrible. Some people profess to be Christians and they're committing adultery online every day. People, listen to me. God's standard is purity, holiness, cleansing, right to the very core of the problem. Hallelujah. Root it out. Purged away. Amen?
Amen.
You can get excited about it if you want, you know. I love this. I just love this. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And the next thing he says, then I will teach transgressors your ways. Then I'll be so excited about it, I'll want to tell the world what the Lord has done for me. Then I was, the other day I had coffee with a friend of mine. And he was telling me a bit about his story. And I've just realized Jana knows him real well, Brent. And Brent was telling me his story. And how he was, when he was a young guy, he was very sports-minded and very much a man of the world. And he drank and partied and did the whole bit. And he was drafted in the hockey world and he was a gifted sportsman. And he was going on about what he did and nothing would stand in his way. And I said to him, right, well, in other words, you were a monumental pain in the neck. He says, that's exactly what I was. A total pain in the neck. And then he met Jesus. He said, I wouldn't go back to my old life now for anything. This guy is excited about knowing Jesus. He's looking forward to the Lord coming again. And he knows the joy of forgiveness and a new life. since he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got in my notes here on this promise what God says about our sin being as scarlet, it'll be as white as snow, red like crimson, it'll be like wool. Two aspects to this. The stain is gone and the fabric is changed. The stain is gone and the fabric is changed. Praise God. But then, when you move on to verse 19, heal the past. That's how it can be healed, dear friends. Isn't that wonderful? That's where we begin. Don't go a step further until we've got that right. Whatever we need to deal with before the Lord, let's deal with it today. Heal the past. And then, live the present. A whole new life in relationship with the Lord Jesus. And he says in verse 19, if you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. Most translations says, if you listen and obey. If you listen and obey. Now, this is, I want to take a few minutes because this is something the Lord's been teaching me very much recently all over again. The phrase is very precious to me, listen obediently. You see, this is what faith is all about. This is what it's all about. Let me say this to you. Hebrews number chapter 11 talks about a whole list of men and women of faith. And at the end of the chapter it says, they gained approval. God's approval. They gained approval through their faith. They didn't gain approval by being at every meeting. They didn't gain approval by just getting all the dots, I's dotted and the T's crossed. They gained approval through their faith. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a walk of faith from day one till the very end. Amen. It's all a question of growing in obedience to the Lord. That's what faith is. Faith and obedience go hand in hand. When I read the Word of God as a Christian and God shows me things in His Word, we just had the wonderful news this morning about two young ladies who are going to be baptized. What is that? They read in the Word of God about baptism and they're obedient. They're taking a step of faith. Amen. Isn't that exciting? It is so wonderful. And this is what it is all the way through. Moving in faith. When I read the Word, I take a step of faith. I stand on His promise. I obey what He says to me. And so we grow in the Lord. And it involves, dear friends, it involves total submission of everything to the Lordship of Christ. It involves taking my whole life and literally handing it over to Him. Lord, You be Lord of every part of me. Everything I am, everything I possess, it's Yours, Lord. Amen? And as we walk in submission to the Lord, Philippians, you know that this is something to illustrate because God's been teaching me this recently. Philippians 4 says, makes a very, what you might call a ridiculous statement. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. I mean, that's a ridiculous thing. Think about it. Think about what's going on in your life right now. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Be anxious for nothing. It's getting worse. Be anxious for nothing. Come on. How on earth can you even begin to do that? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. You see, it's a question of everything that's going on. Talking it over with Him. This is the intimate fellowship we're talking about, people. This is the intimate fellowship. God's been showing me just this past week. This is hot off the press, guys. Something I've been praying for many, many, many years. And I'm going to stop praying for it. I've stopped praying for it. That's a transaction I did with the Lord yesterday. I'm stopping praying for it because I'm saying now, Lord, whatever You want, whatever, no matter what, Your grace is sufficient. No matter what, when I submit to your will and I walk by faith, the grace of God is sufficient. That's why Paul could say, I'm going to glory in my weakness now. Because the more I realize my weakness, the more I'll realize his strength, his sufficiency. So this matter that I'm just mentioning, I'm not going into details. I'm stopping praying for that right now, because I'm realizing the Lord's going to be everything to me in it. And it's not a question, Oswald Chambers, who has this statement where he says, he talks about praying for things in life. We concentrate on all the wrong things, you see. It's seeking him that matters, amen? It's seeking the Lord. Seeking him. And whatever else goes on, it doesn't really matter, if you see what I mean. Now that's quite a mouthful I've just uttered. And I know that. I understand that. But the point is this, when we are seeking him for who he is, then we prove how sufficient he can be. That's the walk of faith, dear people. Amen? That's the walk of faith. I don't know how it's going to work out, but he does. And as we trust. So the Lord says in Deuteronomy, said to the people, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. So choose life in order that you may live. That doesn't mean life with no problems. It means life in relationship with God. You haven't even begun to live until Jesus Christ is Lord in your life. Heal the past. That's where it starts. And live the present. And when that's happening, you can dream the future. Amen? You can dream the future. If you listen and obey, you'll eat the best of the land. You'll prove God in a mighty way. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. That's what God says. It's a very serious business, ladies and gentlemen, to turn our backs on the grace of God. It has eternal consequences. It means a lost eternity. My wife and I have grieved over our friend Greg, who took his own life. These are serious business. It's a serious business. So that's the message I feel the Lord wants me to give you today. Do you need to heal the past? Do you need to deal with stuff? Whatever stains it may have made on your life, my dear friend, this morning, he wants to purge it out. Hallelujah. And when that happens, you'll begin to live the present in a new way. And you'll dream the future, because you'll know that you're going to be with the Lord. And maybe he'll come today. Who knows? Take us to be with himself. What a future we have. What a future.
Amen.
Because of who our Savior is. I beg of you today, if you need to do business with God, may this be the day. Amen.
Amen.
Let's bow in prayer. Lord, our hearts are humbled before you this morning as we think of what you want to do in our lives. We are not worthy, we don't deserve it, Lord, but we thank you for your amazing love and grace. Thank you, Lord, that you want to take those stains of sin and purge them out of our lives forever. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for his death on the cross, but he shed his blood for us. God, I just pray this morning that we'll all go home today rejoicing that the past is healed. The present is a gift from you to be lived to the full. And we have an incredible future of being in your presence for all eternity. Father, bless your word to us, we humbly pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening, dear friends. I just want to say that I'm available if you want to talk over some of the things I've been saying. If you need prayer or you need some help today, I'd be delighted to help you in any way I can. But God bless you as you go today.